Chapter 1 Mindset. Mental Limitations. In the late 1980s, a small boy grew up in Manchester, England. Although he lived in some of the worst areas in Manchester, his family were still always the poorest. Other children from the estates he lived in used to feel sorry for him, and the other parents would regularly donate their children's old clothes to him and his brothers and sister. The little boy Michael grew up living on some of the poorest council estates throughout Manchester, Liverpool, Newcastle, and other areas of the UK. His younger brother would years later release a song called 54 Council Houses, which was the number of houses he remembered living in growing up. Although Michael never finished school, in fact, he hardly ever went to school and had almost no education, there was always one constant message every adult told him throughout his life that he believed to be true. Find a good job and work hard to be a success when you grow up. Michael's life spiraled from bad to worse in his teenage years, starting with drinking and taking drugs all the way to petty crimes and breaking the law on a regular basis. This was what his friends did, and this was just normal life for Michael. He didn't realize there was anything different out there, so he followed suit. At 21 years old, Michael worked in a pallet yard making huge numbers of pallets by hand. He earned about £14,000 a year and saw this as his only way to make a living. He knew no better and had no one to guide him. Then one day, his father and stepmother informed him an office junior job had opened up at the HSBC insurance brokers where his stepmother worked. Michael saw this as his chance to be part of the world he had always felt pushed out of, so he applied for the job. Michael would never have gotten the job had it not been for his stepmother Allison, who risked her job for him and gave him a glowing recommendation, which was not 100% true as she knew he had been a bad lad growing up. Michael got the job and started working in the postroom at HSBC for £7,000 a year. Many people around Michael thought he was a complete idiot cutting his salary in half, but he saw this as an opportunity to enter a world he had always been kept from and his chance to get an education. At the time, Michael couldn't read very well and was forced to keep this from senior management. Luckily for him, a girl called Kate Hindley and Janine Ellis helped Michael when he struggled to sort the post properly. A few weeks after starting the job, Michael inquired with the office manager Carol how he went about taking the exams to become an insurance broker that all staff were entitled to take through the company. She laughed and said, "But you're in the post room." Michael, a little shocked, asked if he was not allowed to take the exams like everyone else. She informed him he was, but he must wait 6 months before applying because he had to finish his probationary period. When Michael had been with the company for 6 months, and one day, he went back into Carol's office and said, "I assume I passed my probation as I'm still here?" She replied, "Yes, we are very pleased with you, Michael." Excited, he asked, "Okay, brilliant, how do I go about starting my exams?" Carol must have forgotten their conversation and appeared quite shocked by Michael's response. She attempted to dismiss the idea, informing Michael, "You're just in the post room. Why do you need the exams?" Michael asked, "Am I allowed to do the exams?" Carol informed him he was, but then went on to explain he had no school qualifications, had not been to college, and had literally no chance of ever passing these exams and would be embarrassed when he failed, so why bother? This was like a red rag to a bull to Michael and actually made him even more determined to succeed. Michael asked Carol defiantly, "How many exams am I allowed to take at once?" She laughed and responded, "3 why?" Michael continued, "Let's make a deal. I'll book for the first 3 exams right now, and if I don't pass any of them, then I'll remain in your post room for £7,000 a year and won't try to step above my position again. But when I pass them all, you will consider me for a promotion in the small business team, and I can continue to take exams and become an insurance broker like everyone else." Carol smiled and gave Michael the chance. He studied every single day before work, at lunchtime, and even spent his nights working hard on his exams. He struggled massively because he couldn't read properly, but Carol and Janine helped him whenever he was struggling, and before long the day of the exams had arrived. Michael passed all 3 exams with distinction and was very soon promoted to the small business team. He thrived for several years before being headhunted and taken to another firm in Manchester. You may have guessed Michael is me, and at the time, this was the peak of where I believed I could go in life because I didn't feel I was worth anything more. I now earn more most days than I used to in a full year, and I still don't feel I've reached my full potential. When someone is brought up poor and their parents struggle for money all their lives, they feel like that is the peak of their potential because they can't see past it and can't comprehend anything different, so to them, struggling financially is normal. If a child's parents make £50,000 a year and the child grows up and makes the same, then they will likely feel content and like they have succeeded. If a child's parents earn £1 million a year and they grow up and earn £100,000, they will likely feel like a complete failure because their mental limitations have been set much higher growing up and therefore expect more from themselves. We all have the same abilities and potential. We just need to lift our belief in ourselves. A lot of people look at footballers and their salaries and feel like it's impossible for them personally to get to that level because they are not a footballer or simply feel their potential stops at £50,000 or whatever their cap is. The truth is, most people meet their mental limitations, feel comfortable or even successful, and then take their foot off the gas and coast for the rest of their life, only ever increasing by the cost of living. I remember my first £1,000 week as a self-employed locksmith. In fact, I remember showing my mother I had done £920 in the last 7 days, and I had done it all by myself, not working for anyone else. I was so proud, and I should have been. The problem lies when people get to the first £1,000 a week, get comfortable and then stop or start to coast, happy they have reached their limit or the limit of their potential. Remember, no one will pay you more than they have to, and that's why you will never earn more than you think you are worth. They ask you in professional high-paid positions what your asking salary is. They don't do this to see if they can afford you. It's to see if they can get you for less than they are willing to pay. I'm not telling you to walk into your boss's office and request double your salary, and I'm not telling you to ask for triple what you can earn doing something everyone else is willing to do for one-third. What I am telling you to do is change your mindset. This book is for entrepreneurs and business owners looking to build something themselves and become wealthy. The first thing to do before ever starting is to change your mindset on how much you think you can earn and increase your mental limitations. A great way to do this is to always tell yourself, "I am just getting started." For example, you have a meeting with your business partner and go over the previous month's figures. You have done £50,000 in the last 30 days, which is a record for the company, and you're all really excited. Tell yourself, "I'm just getting started." Never let this leave your mind. Tell yourself, no matter how big you or your company becomes, that you are just getting started. A great way to increase your mental limitations is to repeat this to yourself every day. I know I can earn more money than I have been brought up believing. I know that my value is much higher than I ever thought possible. I know that no matter where I come from, the value of me is what I put on myself and not the value society puts on me. The only thing that holds me back is my pre-programmed mental limitations. I am worth what I believe I am worth, not what I have been made to believe. The more I believe I am worth, the more I will make. I will go forward with unrestricted mental limitations and reach my potential. Belief. It's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am, Muhammad Ali. When I think about self-confidence, belief, and strength of mind, I think of fighters. You can see instantly in a fighter's eyes when they lose their self-belief during a fight. They almost implode and crumble right there in front of their opponent. Strength of mind and self-belief aren't just a part of a fighter's makeup. It's actually the number one asset a fighter needs to perform at the highest level. Any sportsperson at the top of their game must have unwavering self-belief. Mary was 7 years old when the bullying and name-calling started in school. It wasn't her fault her mother didn't have the money to replace her shabby school clothes, but children can be cruel. Mary used to come home from school every day and sob to her mother. Her mother tried to comfort her and reported the issue to the teachers, but nothing seemed to work. This went on for several months, and Mary got worse, not wanting to return to school because of how these girls were making her feel. When the summer holiday started, Mary's mother, not knowing what to do, brought her home and told her two older brothers to teach her to fight. They took this to mean kick her arse every day, so they did. Every single day for the next 6 weeks, Mary's 10 and 9-year-old brothers beat her arse. Mary had started to fight back 3 weeks in, and by the end of the 6-week holiday, she was holding her own with her much bigger brothers. The end of the summer holiday came all too fast for Mary, who had to return to school. She did not want to go and was worried and sobbing because of the girls in school. Mary's mother spoke with the teacher, then dropped her at school and went home. About 2 hours later, the home phone rang, and Mary's mother answered. Mary's teacher informed her mother that Mary had gone to school and beat up 3 girls during the morning break. Mary's mother smiled broadly before replacing the receiver and heading to school to pick up her daughter. As they left the school, Mary thought she was in trouble and walked to the car with her head stooped. She climbed into the passenger seat and looked across at her mother. Her mother asked, "Were those the three girls who have been bullying you?" Mary nodded silently. "Well done, you don't hit anyone for nothing, but if someone bullies you, you can stick up for yourself." Mary smiled back at her mother. "Would you like some ice cream?" Mary nodded, and from that day forward, she never let anyone bully her ever again. Mary always had the ability to stick up for herself. She just lacked self-belief. The beatings she took from her older brothers through the summer holidays taught her she wasn't made of glass and gave her the self-confidence she needed to put a stop to it. Self-belief isn't something that comes naturally to everyone. In fact, there's a very small number of naturally self-confident people. The best way to become self-confident is to face your fears. I'm not saying you should go right out and do whatever scares you, but you should approach what scares you in a structured manner. Let's say you are scared of public speaking, as many people are, but you get a new job, which means you're going to speak publicly on a regular basis. The thought of this petrifies you, and merely thinking about it gives you cold sweats and causes your legs to shake. In this situation, simply getting on a stage in front of 500 people would likely result in you stuttering, trembling, embarrassing yourself, and being more scared of public speaking than you were before. However, if you structure your approach to public speaking, you can face your fears gradually and become less and less scared of public speaking over time. When I was younger, I knew a man named Paul who worked for British Aerospace. He was very successful in both his work and personal life. I had an exam coming up at school that I had not prepared for. I failed the exam, and when I came home, my mother made excuses for me and explained that with us moving and me not being at the school long, I hadn't had the time to prepare for it. Paul announced that this was just an excuse and that if I go through life making excuses for my failures, then I will end up a failure. It was my fault, I should own it and not let it happen again. I was only 14 at the time, but this resonated with me. He explained that he had followed the 6 P's throughout his life, which was why he had been so successful. He explained that whenever he had something in front of him, he always remembered. Planning, preparation and amp, practice prevent poor performance. This simple method works for almost anything you do in life, whether it's planning, preparing and practicing to ask out a girl, planning, preparing and practicing for an exam, or event planning, preparing and practicing to build your own home. Whatever you do in life, the 6 P's will help you do it better. Mary, by fighting with her brothers during the summer holidays, was actually using the 6 P's without knowing it. If you use the 6 P's when facing your fears, then you will be much more ready to face your fears when you have to, and you will usually find there was nothing to be scared of in the first place. If you face your fears without using the 6 P's, you will usually find your fears were quite justified, and you may even come away more scared than you were before. What the 6 P's will do for you no matter what you are doing is they will build your confidence for you, and therefore using the 6 P's will increase your self-belief, and self-belief is the number one thing you must have when approaching anything challenging. This is the reason football teams pat each other on the back and get each other excited before a game. This is the reason a coach tells his fighter he is doing well and he can do it even if the coach believes he can't. This is the reason a mother tells a child they can grow up to be anything they want to be, even though she knows in most cases they can't. Self-belief isn't just a feeling. It improves your performance and enables you to see and do things you otherwise wouldn't be able to. Using the 6 P's, you can improve your self-belief in anything, and the more you use it, the better you will get at it. Desire. Show me the money, Tom Cruise, Jerry Maguire, 1996. This is probably one of the most famous sayings from a movie of all time, and it's very misleading. Entrepreneurs go on a very similar journey when they set up their own business, and usually, it's the first part of the journey that can cause them to fail further down the line. When first setting up a business, entrepreneurs tend to chase money. Although businesses are fundamentally designed to make money, you being the driving force behind that business, it can't only be about the money. The big problem with chasing the money is that as soon as you make enough money, you get comfortable, and you will then likely take your foot off the pedal and relax. This results in your business growth slowing down and can spiral your business downward. For any business to succeed, it must generate a profit. Otherwise, it is doomed to fail from the outset. However, when you decide to go into business, if you make the decision based solely on income and don't target something you are passionate about, your business will fail. desire in all walks of life is something you must have to succeed at anything. Let's take two almost identical musicians, for example. They are both signed to the same record label, and they are both given the same opportunities to progress in their career. However, the first musician is a naturally talented singer and a songwriter who only does this for the money. The second is not quite as talented. He loves making music, singing, and performing, and he's always up for a gig no matter where it is or what time of the day or night it is. The first musician refuses to play a venue if less than a few hundred people are attending, whereas the second musician will perform at a 5-year-old child's birthday party for little to no money. Which of these two artists, taking into account that one is super talented, but one has a desire to succeed and loves making music, do you believe will be the most successful in their music careers? The answer 99 times out of 100 will be the person that loves what they are doing, has the desire to perform, and is super motivated. The journey you will take on your path to success will likely start predominantly driven by the income that can be generated from what you do. However, if you start a business you have no desire to be in, then you will likely fail once money is no longer the driving force behind why you get up each day and strive to succeed. Don't just target money alone. If you do, then once you're making money, your desire will fail, and so will your business. Instead, find something you love and are passionate about, then figure out how you can turn that into a business. This may sound difficult, but remember it is possible to make a living from absolutely anything you choose, and there are many, many people out there who do just that. Don't look at the industry and think the barrier to entry is too high because, instantly, you have already given up. Instead, ask yourself how I get into the industry and what I need to do to become an integral part of it. Once you've decided on what it is you love and how you're going to push forward, you need to be determined to succeed. Determination. Determination or persistence is the most important quality any successful person must have, or at least they must learn why it works so they can mirror it. Luckily for us, this is something that can be learned relatively easily by anybody. If you look at many of the great stories from the past, including the one about Colonel Sanders who created KFC, or Ray Kroc, who turned McDonald's into a household name and one of the largest companies on the planet. The reason for both of their success was dog-eared determination and persistence towards their cause. I could sit here all day and share stories with you of people who have been super successful and show exactly why and how it is nearly always connected to determination and persistence. If I were to do that, you would learn a lot of stories, and you would see that a lot of people have been successful, but would it really help you to understand how to become determined or how to be successful? I think not. That is why I will give you just 4 words to memorize. I need you to memorize: purpose, plan, positivity, pals. Repeat this to yourself until it's embedded in your memory, because these are the 4 steps needed to succeed with determination. Let me explain each of them. Purpose. Every great idea begins with a purpose. That purpose must be something that you are passionate about and something that you are willing to give your life to. Colonel Sanders wanted to get his recipe out to the world, and he heard over 1,000 no's before receiving the yes. I said the yes and not a yes, because he only needed one. He knew that his chicken recipe was great and believed in it so much that he focused solely on finding somebody who would partner up with him and pay a small amount of money so they could use the recipe. The same can be said for Jeff Bezos, who people thought was absolutely crazy to leave his Wall Street career to set up a bookstore online. Jeff's dream wasn't to sell books online. He knew that the future was online, and he saw books as an easy entry because there were thousands of new ones created every single year, and they nearly all fit through standard letterboxes, so postage and distribution were easy. Jeff understood that it wasn't a product that made a business, but rather its distribution network. Amazon now has arguably the best distribution network on the planet, which came from the very first online bookstore. As you can see, both of these men who have done great things in completely different industries started with a defined purpose in their minds that they were passionate about. You need to find your purpose before going any further in this book and make that purpose something you are passionate about. If you're not passionate about what you're going to do, you will fail. Too many people start their businesses, and their only purpose is to make money. In some cases, they are successful, but in most cases, they are not. Even if they are successful and make a lot of money, they will not always be happy because they created a business they are not passionate about. Plan. No matter what we try to achieve, we must take action, but if you don't have a plan, how can you take action? The answer is you can't. You can't take action if you don't know what you're doing, and this is the key reason why we must have a defined plan. When a small boy comes home from school and explains to his father he's going to be an astronaut and fly to the moon, the father may pat his little boy on the head and say, "Yes, you are." He may also move into a story about what it's like on the moon, what it's like to fly a rocket, how his son will feel when he's standing on the moon, but what he won't do is ask how. The father won't turn around and say, "How do you plan to get to the moon, son? What is your plan to make sure you can stand on the moon when you're an adult?" The answer is millions want to go to space, but very few do it because they never plan how it's going to happen, and the few who do will always start with a defined plan of how they intend to get there. What school do they need to attend? Which college or university should they attend, and what grades must they achieve? After that, where do they need to find work? And what else do they need to do to become one of the few men and women who eventually leave this planet and visit the most exclusive destination any human being has ever been? You know what you want to achieve, you have the desire to achieve it, and now you should have a plan that sets out exactly how you want to get there. Do you think great people, both good and bad, got to where they wanted by saying they want to get there and then doing nothing about it? No. They decided what they wanted. They made a plan of how they would get it, and then they went for it every day until they got there. Positivity. I am known to the people who know me closest as a serial entrepreneur. I always have amazing ideas and am always looking for new ways to change the world. Some of my ideas are ridiculous, and others have been a complete success. I have noticed that most people are looking for a way to say that it will never work or that it's a stupid idea. These very same people will then likely talk to others about you behind your back and laugh at what you are trying to achieve. They will also be the first people to hit you with "I told you so" when one of your great ideas falls flat on its face. Do not worry, these people are society in general, and they will likely grow up and do exactly what their parents did and then die completely unknown to anyone. These people, luckily for us, are the majority, and they find what you do completely insane because they are not like that. These are not the people who invented the wheel, the telephone, the light bulb, airplanes, cars, or anything else. These are the people who love to say, "I had that idea first," but they never do anything about it because they prefer to criticize and live in their safe little bubble rather than take risks and do something that really makes them feel alive. These people's opinions do not matter, and you need to learn to block out all negativity from these kinds of people, because Jeff Bezos was once an idiot who quit a high-paying Wall Street career to set up a bookstore online. He will have heard all the "Are you stupid? That will never work. You're a lunatic. You will fail." But did he? No. You need to understand and become resilient to outside negativity and push forward with your ideas. You need to realize you will likely fail 9, 10, 11, 12, or perhaps even more times before you ever succeed, but you will learn from every single failure. Each failure will make you a more experienced person and take you one step closer to the one success you need, the one success that will prove to you and the rest of the world that you're not crazy. In fact, you're one of those people who invented the wheel, the telephone, the light bulb, airplanes, cars, and every great invention that has pushed the human race so much further than any other animal on this planet. Stay positive, because you can do this, and don't listen to outside negativity, because more people will tell you it won't work, and that's because they don't understand how it will work until you show the world how. Pals. Nobody can do everything by themselves. We all have strengths and weaknesses, and we need to recognize where our strengths are and what our weaknesses are. If you can surround yourself with people who pick up the slack in the areas you fall down and understand your focus, and want to help you achieve your goals, then you have literally no reason to fail at whatever you want to achieve. Purpose, something you are passionate about achieving. Plan, a defined way you can achieve your purpose. Positivity, ignore the naysayers and push forward with every breath in your body. Pals, surround yourself with like-minded people who push you forward and lift you up when you fall down. If you structure your approach to success in this way, the odds are highly stacked in your favor that you will achieve what you are aiming for. Everything begins with your mindset, which is why I wrote this chapter. I want to help you get your mindset right for a better today and a better future.